You are listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana, we greet you here today. God bless you. Thanks for joining us here today. And we're going to get right into the word here coming up in a minute. I invite you to one of our services here at Island. If you are new to the area or if you enjoy this radio program, this is the radio ministry of Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. Wednesdays, we meet at 6. And this Wednesday, we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Matter of fact, that's what I'm working on right now. That's where we're going to be here. You are invited. We would love to see you. It's much more informal on a Wednesday night. We roll out the dry erase board. It's open for question and answers. You are invited. We'd love to see you. The Facebook feed will kick off live as well, right at 6 o'clock, as well as Sunday mornings at 10:30. The service is on broadcast live on Facebook. So now the sermon here today is going to be coming from my associate pastor, Darren Solana. And this is just a fantastic word. And it's coming from the Gospel of Mark and from chapter 9. So this is right around the time when of the transfiguration, and the Lord and four of his trusted disciples were coming down from the mountain, and they ran into someone, a demon-possessed boy who they were unable to heal. So that's the backdrop for that. And this will play today here and tomorrow. Again, we'd love to see you tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Sunday morning, starting a brand new series here at church, and that's going to be the book of Hebrews, verse by verse. And you are invited. We'd love to see you. IslandCommunityChurch.net's the website. Same name for the Facebook page. Same name for our YouTube channel. I encourage you to subscribe to that, Island Community Church on YouTube. Also, here at the radio stations, there are brand new apps for you to download, WMIE, as well as our sister station, WWBC. Download the programs, download the apps, listen to the programs at any time, and the on-demand is on there as well. So, okay, let's get into the word now. Here's Pastor Darren with today's message. This is entitled, Bring Him to Me.
Let's start off with prayer today. Father God, we praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you allowed us to see another beautiful day, Father. Just praise you for your glory. Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy of all the praise and the honor and the glory. We worship you, Lord. We thank you. You've been so good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for dying in our place. Thank you for casting our sin as far as the east is from the west. We thank you that you don't remember it anymore. Father, I'd ask that you would use me today for your glory. Help me in all that I do today, Lord. Father, that you would help me. Lord, that your word would fall on ears to receive it, ears to hear it, and hearts to receive it. Father, give us understanding, wisdom, Lord. And Father, most importantly, help us to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Brought two bottles of water up here today because I figure I'm going to need them. We're going to start off in Mark chapter 9. I'm going to start at verse 14. I'll give you a minute to get there. While you're getting there, I'll get with the backdrop. So you have Jesus, Peter, James, and John have just come down from the mountain where Christ was transfigured, and his glory was shown in radiant royal splendor, his deity shining forth from within him. Peter, James, and John are so overwhelmed by this glorious sight that they want to set up three booths or three tabernacles, three tents. And I would say rightfully so. I'm sure Peter, James, and John are thinking, this is great. Can't we just stay here on this mountain? We've all had those experiences. I talked about it last week in Sunday school, those mountaintop experiences, you know, and we just see Christ in his glory, and it's just such a wonderful place to be, and we just want to stay there. But there's work to be done, and the work is in the valley. I'm going to start at Mark chapter 9, verse 14. It says, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Verse 15, immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. Verse 16, and he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Okay, so I'm assuming by who Jesus asked the question, and who answers him, that he's talking to one of the scribes. And the boy is the son of the scribe. 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into his house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? Verse 29, so he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Okay, let's go through this and break this down. Because there's a lot going on here. But I think the majority of this can be understood in two main points. The first is at the end, verse 29. So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." And the second is in the beginning, verse 19. "Bring him to me." Do not overlook that these two are connected. As we look at the text, we see that the disciples were not able to deliver the boy. And we wonder why. And they wondered why. And he tells his disciples plainly when they asked him why, that this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. I'm of the belief that there might be three things going on here. First is that the disciples might have gotten a little puffed up and started to operate in their own power and not his power. It is his power. Acts 4:12. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Philippians 2, verse 10. "That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. The second thing I see is a lack of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Jesus points out this man's fault, which is unbelief. But don't miss the fact, because we seem to overlook it. He points out his man's fault, and his fault is unbelief. And that unbelief is centered on not that Jesus will do this, but whether Jesus can do this. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." And Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever." You must believe that Jesus is God. Right on. And with God, all things are possible. And you can see the man's unbelief in verse 22. Listen to what he says. He says, "But if you can do anything," it's like he's going to some doctor or some auto mechanic. "Well, you know, if there's anything that you can do, you know, if you can do anything for my son." You see how he approaches him? He approaches him with unbelief. He says, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." You see, the emphasis of his unbelief is not placed on whether or not Jesus will help him, but whether or not Jesus can help him. And you can see the difference. Let me show you the difference. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. And I'll show you the difference. Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 5, says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said, 'I'll come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you.' And his servant was healed that same hour." You see the difference between the centurion and this man? How they approach? So one approaches Christ with belief, and the other approaches him with unbelief. Now they both have the same desire. They both have that in common. But one's coming to him wondering that if he would, and wondering if he can. With the Roman centurion, there was no doubt that he could. No doubt whatsoever that he could heal his servant. His intercession is, "I know that you can. Will you?" He comes to him with this faith. "I know that I 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 know that you are able to do this, because you are God, and with you all things are possible. I'm only asking you if you will." The other man is not even sure if Jesus can do it. He comes up with doubt. He comes up with unbelief, and he just pleads with him, "And is there anything you can do for us? You know?" With the Roman centurion, there was no doubt that Jesus could. He just implored him that he would. Calvin's commentary writes, "You ask me," says he, "to aid you as far as I can. But you will find in me an inexhaustible fountain of power, provided that the faith you bring be sufficiently large." Verse 23. Back to Mark. Mark chapter 9. Verse 23. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." The words of our Lord pierced this man's soul. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Verse 24, his response. Look at his response. Now you see a humble, submitting spirit. It says, "Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears." Now he's got his attention. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." I mean, you could say it in another way. You could say it like this. "Lord, I want to believe. And there's a part of me that does want to believe. And does believe. And there's a part of me that doesn't. Help the part that doesn't. Help me." I mean, this. Now we're getting to the heart of the matter by how this man responds. Now you're getting it right. I want to believe, he says. Help my unbelief. Have you ever been there? I have. All right, you're still with me. Now we come to the third point, which is really the bulk of this sermon. We're probably almost halfway there, but I would think it's the most important part of today's sermon. So as Foghorn Leghorn would say, listen here, boy. We're getting to the good stuff. We've been talking about it all month long in Sunday school for the last month, maybe longer. We were talking about it this morning. We see this as a pivotal point in Christ's ministry where things are starting to change. He just came down from a mountain where he was transfigured, and his glory was revealed and shown forth. There he met with Moses and Elijah, and they spoke with him about his departure. He has just started to speak to his disciples about his suffering and dying. And it confuses them. They don't understand. It seems that his patience is starting to wear thin. He knows the cross is getting closer and closer. And there seems to be a greater sense of urgency with Jesus. Less focus on miracles and more focus on teaching. And as we're getting closer and closer to the new covenant. Now, as I mentioned at the start of this, that my focus was on verse 29. This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And verse 19, bring him to me. With the start of the new covenant, Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Romans 8:34. It is Christ who died, yea, rather who is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Okay, so we see that the disciples could not deliver this boy. But you can't say that they didn't try, right? It seems like they did everything they knew to do, but with no results. And they're frustrated with themselves. Jesus certainly appears to be frustrated with them. Not with them. Jesus seems to be appears to be frustrated with all of them there. It is then Jesus says, bring him to me. It's just the title of this sermon. Okay, I'm just about done with my introduction. I'm kidding. Now we'll get started. Bring him to me, Jesus says. Simple solution, right? Sure. When he's standing right there, it's a simple solution, right? He's 10 feet away from you. But how do we do that when he's seated at the right hand of God? Answer: prayer, fasting. Listen to this. Charles Spurgeon writes, despairingly, the poor, disappointed father turned away from the disciples to their master. His son was in the worst possible condition, and all means had failed. But the miserable child was soon delivered from the evil one when the parent, in faith, obeyed the Lord Jesus' word, bring him unto me. Children are a precious gift from God, but much anxiety comes with them. Can I get an amen there? Anybody understand what I'm talking about? They may be a great joy or a great bitterness to their parents. They may be filled with the Spirit of God or possessed with the spirit of evil. In all cases, the Word of God gives us one recept for the curing of all their ills. Bring him unto me. For more agonizing prayer on behalf while they are yet babes. Sin is there. Let our prayers begin to attack it. Our cries for our offspring should precede those cries which betoken their actual advent into the world of sin. In the days of their youth, we shall see sad tokens of that dumb and deaf spirit which will neither pray aright nor hear the voice of God. But Jesus still commands, bring them unto me. When they are grown up, they may wallow in sin and foam with enmity against God. Then when our hearts are breaking, we should remember the great physician's words, bring them unto me. Never must we cease to pray until they cease to breathe. No case is hopeless while Jesus lives. The Lord sometimes suffers his people to be driven into a corner that they may experimentally know how necessary he is to them. Ungodly children, when they show us our own powerlessness against the depravity of their hearts, drive us to flee to the strong for strength. And this is a great blessing to us. Whatever our morning's need may be, let it be a strong current. Bear us to the ocean of divine love. Jesus can soon remove our sorrow. He delights to comfort us. Let us hasten to him while he waits to meet us. Probably got an idea where I'm going with this, right? I'm not done yet. Listen to this. I got this from Precept Austin, which I have found to be a wonderful website in my studies. Listen to this.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.